From American Public Media, this is Marketplace. I'm Molly Wood. Once upon a time, really not that long ago at all, everyone who was anyone had a BlackBerry. Remember that? And then kind of all of a sudden, nobody had a BlackBerry anymore. The company is still working on a comeback, and in the meantime, two journalists, Jackie McNish and Sean Silkoff, have written a new book about the Canadian giant that, for a brief moment, was the most innovative wireless device company in the world. The book is called Losing the Signal, the untold story behind the extraordinary rise and spectacular fall of BlackBerry. Jackie and Sean, thanks for being here.
Hello.
Hi, Molly.
It feels so long ago and yet not long ago at all that BlackBerry was totally ascendant. How did they manage to create such an addictive product?
They were part of a race at the time in the 90s. Everyone was trying to create a mobile device, but no one could get email and text right. Everyone was making devices that were just overcomplicated, little keyboards with, you know, you need to be a little squirrel to tap on those small keyboards. Mike Lazaridis, who was the founder of Research in Motion, came up with the idea of a keyboard that would have slightly larger keys, but you would use your opposable thumbs. And the keyboard arced, and it was so simple and intuitive, you didn't need a manual.
And in large part, I mean, the book very much, and rightly so, credits the rise of BlackBerry to really the unique personalities of Jim Bosley and Mike Lazaridis. Talk about what particular skills these guys brought.
Yeah, I mean, they couldn't have been more different. Mike's story is he's sort of the classic son of immigrants from Turkey. And he's the child genius who created a record player out of Lego when he was 4 years old. And he had a very influential teacher in high school who told them, the person who figures out how to marry computers and wireless is going to create something special. That was in the 1970s. So, you know, he was a very confident, brilliant scientist. He decided to start a company, dropped out of university at the University of Waterloo. And it's interesting. So Jim Bosley is the son of sort of lower middle class parents from small town Ontario, ends up in Harvard Business School. But he always had sort of a bit of a chip on his shoulder, I think, and sort of an insecurity because, you know, he didn't come from the world that a lot of his classmates came from. When he got to Harvard, he told us, you know, I felt like there were 89 Nobel Prize winners and one fraud. Instead of heading to Wall Street like all of his classmates, he sort of took a sharp turn, figured that, you know, if he was going to find his place in the world and reach the top, then the technology industry was a good place to go. So he ends up meeting Mike. His company is actually trying to squeeze a better deal out of Mike on a contract. And Mike sees in Jim an absolute shark. And Jim sees in Mike sort of a brilliant, totally ambitious technologist who kind of needs a little help on the business front.
So they create this product. This product changes the world, arguably is the reason that nobody has ever paid attention in a meeting since. But who were the people who really propelled BlackBerry onto the mainstream stage?
I think BlackBerry knew that it was going to be a success when they were still in a very small office in Waterloo, and they get a call from some guy in Texas who says, I'm trying to figure out how to hook this up, and it was Michael Dell. And they thought it was a joke at first because it was just so early into the launching of the product that it caught them by surprise. Oprah was a big early promoter and advocate, and then pretty soon everyone from Madonna to, you know, prominent actors and musicians.
And so the book, obviously, the real BlackBerry story takes sort of a sharp turn. What happened? I feel like it's hard to find a takeaway from a business perspective.
I think the most important takeaway from this story is that this is the fastest technology race and most disruptive, brutish race of our generation. And the margin for error for BlackBerry was in 2007 when Steve Jobs walked onto that stage in San Francisco and held up the iPhone. The BlackBerry brought us a piece of the internet. It brought us email. What Steve Jobs was offering was essentially a mini computer in the smartphone. And because Mike Lazaridis' first response when he looked at the iPhone, took it apart in his home, he said, this will never work. It will crash the networks. Because they had grown up in an environment where the carriers ruled the world. But what he didn't understand was the degree and the speed with which there would be upgrades on the networks. Steve Jobs had reinvented that power struggle with the carriers. And at that moment, they went from being innovators to followers.
And now, let's talk about the position that BlackBerry is in now. You've got the new CEO, John Chen. You say in the book that in many ways he is producing BlackBerries for a niche market. It's for the people who love BlackBerry. But is that enough to sort of stick with the past?
It's amazing. You know, I think every day we meet people who talk about it like an old flame that they miss. And John Chen is, you know, is a very capable turnaround CEO. He's got the company to a point where it's not losing money. It's still sitting on about $3 billion in cash, and it has a lot of value in the company still. So, I mean, this book is not a eulogy for BlackBerry by any means.
Right. The story is not over.
Right. That's right.
Jackie McNish and Sean Silkoff are the authors of Losing the Signal. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.